Welcome to Bardo's Breakdown, the podcast that gives you the complete 411 on Big Ten basketball. And now your host, former NBA and Flying Illini great, Stephen Bardo.
Welcome back to another edition of Bardo's Breakdown. I'm your host, Stephen Bardo, and I'm pleased to be joined today by Illinois head coach, John Gross. Coach, thanks a lot for joining me today.
No problem, Stephen.
And it sounds like your voice is in mid-season form already. You got it cranking up early, I guess.
We do. This has been our first week of school, and we've had three straight days of workouts and some strength and conditioning stuff. So we're excited to have the guys back. We're off to a great start, but my voice has got to get adjusted for sure.
You know, I keep tabs on your workouts in the summertime and everything, and some of the drills and some of the team building that you do. And, Coach, you and your staff join in on that. Why do you do that?
Well, I think it's important for the guys to know that we're in this with them. I think that's huge. You know, we've got a young, energetic, enthusiastic staff. And, you know, I think when you're a player and you see a coach right in there with you, taking part in SEAL training or whatever it is that we might be doing, I think you get that feeling as a player, like, hey, boy, these guys are, you know, they're in this with me 10 toes in. So I think that's certainly a big part of it.
Yeah, it's a great scene of you taking the ice plunge. You did the ice bucket challenge with athletic director Mike Thomas, but I'm talking about a full body ice plunge during that Navy SEALs training. Had you ever done anything like that before?
Well, we did it last year, and I made the mistake. You know, I started getting a little bit too bold and bodacious, and I asked and requested for more ice, Stephen. So they threw more ice in there. They put about 50 more bags in there and to try to make a point to the guys. But it was definitely cold. It takes your breath away for sure. But, you know, for me, it was a great experience for our team, putting them in situations where they have to deal with things that are uncomfortable. Because, as you know, as a great player yourself, you know, you have to deal with both adversity and success throughout a game, throughout a season, throughout your life. And I thought the SEAL training, you know, really put guys in that frame of mind where, hey, I've got to deal with whatever pitch is thrown at me, whether it's a changeup, a fastball, a curveball, and try to deal with it appropriately. And I thought that was great training for us in that regard.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit, Coach, because you talk about putting your guys in those positions. And let's look at last season. You start out 11-2, and then you drop 10 of 11, but then you right the ship. Do you think that had something to do with this type of training that allows your guys to pull themselves out of that slump in the Big Ten to really finish strong?
There's no question. You know, not only that training, but just our culture in general. You know, I think I've got a great staff, a great support staff, Stephen. They, you know, they emphasize a lot about not, you know, getting caught up in what's happened previously, learning from it, moving on, getting better, and we live that out every day. I think one of the best compliments we got last year was when we had people come in to do games, television games, and the broadcasters would say, we can't tell whether you've, you know, won five in a row, you know, lost three in a row, you know, this is unbelievable. You guys are always so energetic and enthusiastic, like you couldn't get a beat on that. And I think a lot of that is because of our culture that we've tried to create now heading into year three, and, you know, certainly my staff and our older players who bought in at the very beginning, the Brandon Pauls, the DJ Richardsons. You know, then last year it was Bertrand and Eke, and, you know, now Abrams and Egwu. I think those guys are relaying the message about what we are about to the younger guys, and we're starting to get some continuity with our culture.
You talk about the culture, Coach, and it seems to be really helping you guys in terms of recruiting. You've got LaRon Black and Michael Finke coming in, two very skilled young men, very talented. I'm more interested in LaRon Black. He's a kid out of Memphis, and I believe the Illinois program hasn't had a player out of Memphis since Corey Bradford. Was that culture was something that was very attractive to LaRon Black that, you know, attracted him to Illinois?
There's no question. And you know, Steven, yourself, I think certainly one of the things that attracted LeBron was that culture. There's no question about it. You know, he and his family, I think, recognize that. He's a great fit, as is Finke. Both guys are very, very competitive. That's been very evident from watching them this summer in our workouts and then watching them this fall. I'm very excited about that. Both guys are very coachable and pick things up quickly. So that's been good. You know, I think LeBron recognized that. And, you know, for us to have an opportunity to get an out-of-state kid like LeBron, who's the – and obviously rankings don't mean everything, Stephen, but the, you know, the highest-ranked player to come to Illinois since Derek Harper, that's outside of our state. You know, so, you know, it was a big step for us. We're excited, and I know LeBron's excited to be here.
You know, you talk about your two freshmen. You have two other guys that transferred in, Aaron Cosby from Seton Hall and Ahmad Stark from Oregon State. With those guys now being eligible, Coach, what can we expect from them in terms of their infusion into the program?
Well, the first thing, and obviously you covered us last year, you know, I think they're going to help us with our shooting. You know, that was one of our weak spots last year. You're talking about two guys that at different times have shot over 40% from three in seasons. Starks is the all-time, you know, three-point field goal makes leader in a season at in his previous stint at Oregon State. Also had a single-season record percentage while he was there. You know, Cosby was a 40%-plus guy from three his last year at Seton Hall. So we've got two guys that I think are really going to help us in that area. But the thing I like about both of them is they're hungry to win right now. You know, both of them have experienced some success individually with different accolades throughout their career in college. But both of them are really hungry, you know, to compete and be a part of a team. And so that part's been great working with both of those guys this summer as well as this fall.
And when we talked about your team last year, you guys finished, I believe, 11th in the nation in defensive efficiency. So you guys were locking teams up, and it sounds like on the offensive end is where you show some improvement. Is with those two guys, will you look to play faster, Coach? Will it be, you know, will the offense be more open? How will the offensive side of the ball look this season?
Well, obviously, you know, at times we struggled offensively last season to score. You're right. Our defense was among the best in the country, and it gave us a chance night in and night out to be competitive, really, against anybody we played. We want to continue to build on that. But for us to take the next step, you know, we've got to be better offensively. You know, we were middle of the pack nationally out of 350 teams in offensive efficiency. You know, that was our lowest number at any time since I've been a head coach. So we've got to be better. We've got to be better at sharing the ball. We need to, you know, the more assists, the better, especially as many weapons as we have now. I think we have multiple scorers, multiple guys that could have a double-figure scoring night. So that's a great asset. You know, I thought we started off the season, Stephen, running, which we like to do. And by the time we got to the end, because of lack of depth, because of our personnel, we weren't able to play like we'd like to play, like we're convicted about. And I think we can get back to that now because we're deeper. I think you do have to have depth. You do have to have multiple ball handlers. You do have to have guys that have the ability to run. And we have all those things. So I think now we're much more equipped to be able to sustain running for a full season.
You're listening to Bartles Breakdown. We have head coach John Gross from Illinois. Hey, Coach, I want to look. Let's start looking at this season a little bit. And I was able to look at your schedule, and with the addition of the Jimmy V Classic, I think where you're getting, where Illinois is getting plugged in for Maryland. So you add Villanova, along with Baylor or Memphis in the Las Vegas Invitational, Oregon at the United Center, and the annual Missouri game. That's a challenging non-conference slate.
It is, and we felt like that was important, Stephen, with an older team. You know, we also played Miami, Florida on the road in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. You know, so we've got some challenging games for sure. A lot of them are on the road or at neutral sites, And so that's going to be great for us from the perspective of being challenged competitively, consistently throughout the non-conference slate. And obviously our hope is that prepares us for the Big Ten schedule.
Yeah, because as we look at that Big Ten slate, you start your first five on the road at Michigan, at Ohio State, home versus Maryland, at Nebraska, at Northwestern. You're going to know where you stand pretty early in the game, huh?
Yeah, obviously, you know, I can't control that. You know, it's the first time that Illinois has had that type of start to Big Ten play since 1966.
Since 1966?
Yeah. So almost 45 years where we started. But, you know, our guys' mindset, first of all, as you know, Stephen, we played really well on the road late.
Right.
Really well. And so a lot of those guys return, which is good. And our guys understand at the end of the day, we've got 18 conference games. 9 of them are home. 9 of them are away. They can put them in whatever order they want. We're going to have to play them. So,
right.
You know, we got to take it one game at a time. We're not going to get caught up in that. We love challenges. We talk to those guys about that a lot. We love to compete. And, you know, obviously we're excited to, you know, get the season underway. We've got a lot of work to do before we get to that Big Ten schedule. But that's always a special time of year once the Big Ten season starts.
Sure. We're going to transition a little bit. You know, we talked about the season. We're going to have a little fun here. Most people don't know you're a voracious reader, Coach. So
yeah.
if I'm going into your office or your home or wherever you have that little bit of time to read, what are you reading currently?
Well, I'm reading two books. One is a reread, very impactful book. I would suggest it for, you know, really about anybody, because I think I told someone yesterday that the book has impacted me as a person, as a husband, as a father, as a coach. On a lot of fronts, and the name of the book is called Mindset. And ironically, Stephen, it was written by a professor of psychology named Carol Dweck. And Carol, her original institution that she taught at was the University of Illinois. You know, so I read about
her
in Ohio. She's now out west at Stanford. And it's really, really good. I encourage it for anyone that's in the education business. You know, I think it's a great read. And the other book I'm reading is a book called Trust Edge by a guy named David Horsager. And it's good. And a lot of it talks about the importance of trust in any successful team or family or business, that if that exists, that – you know, you really, I think that's kind of the thing that can push you over the edge, no pun intended, and get you, you know, maybe a separator, is that ability to be able to trust the people that you're around, that they're bought in with 10 toes, that we care about one another, that we're working collectively as a group for the cause. And I think that's been a great read as well so far. So those are the two that are on my desk.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I've heard of Mindset. You said Trust Edge by David Horsager. Is that right?
Yep, Horsager.
Okay, yeah, I'll definitely check that out. Because the first 90 days, the one that you told me about before, that was a good one as well. So,
yeah, very good by Michael Watkins. Yeah, very good, yeah.
And then lastly, Coach, if I'm in your car truck, what am I hearing on the music? What's in your music rotation?
It varies, but the station I listen to the most is probably 50 on Sirius XM Radio, which is The Groove. So
okay.
I'm an old school R&B guy. So I tease the players all the time that they don't know what good music sounds like, Steven. So I'll talk to them about the Temptations and the Four Tops and Marvin Gaye and Earth, Wind and Fire and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they'll say to me, Coach, this is what my parents listen to. So they act like I'm outdated. But every once in a while, a player will say, Coach, I actually have this on my on my iPod or on my iPod Shuffle as well, a song or two, where they'll recognize it. But if you're riding in the car with me, that's probably what's on most of the time.
No, I like it because I get a chance to ask coaches that, and most of the coaches that I've interviewed around the Big Ten have very similar tastes. So that puts you in good standing, I think, among the other coaches. Coach, thanks so much for joining us today. I really appreciate your time.
Anytime, Stephen. We appreciate you.
All right, that's Illinois head coach John Gross. That'll do it for another edition of Bartles Breakdown. If you have questions you want to email, email me at Steven@StevenBartles.com. And until next time, I'll holla.